And this morning we're going to be in John chapter 6. And to be honest, you'll see this in a minute, but this message in my brain exemplifies how I feel this morning. Most of you guys have heard this story before. Where Jesus takes just a few things and feeds 5,000 people, which is an enormous, enormous thing. And this morning, hoping that God just speaks something special into this. I know most of you guys have heard the story the past few weeks, or I guess last week we kind of started talking about giving, and this morning we're going to talk again about giving. And I just want to say kind of right off the bat, I'm not talking about money, but I am also talking about money. What I'm talking about is resources, and that is time, that's energy, that's effort, that is ability, that's talents, and yes, it is money. It's everything that makes up your life and my life, and the truth of it is, although that's a dirty word to us, although giving is something we think is weird and you should never talk about in church, although generosity, for some reason, the mark of the people of Jesus feels like something we should never talk about in church, Jesus is very much actually about giving, and he's very much about generosity. His whole life actually was marked by this moment that Jesus is a generous person, and that God is a generous person. And this morning, if we want to be the people of God, we also have to be people that are marked by generosity. And this morning, we're going to dig into just a little farther this story of John chapter 6. I'm going to pray again, because for real, I just feel so unsettled this morning. And I don't want to do this in me. So if you want to pray for me, that'd be great. But I'm going to pray either way. Father God, I'm still in that barrier. I'm still that wall. I'm just praying this morning. Let's push through it. This morning, you would just speak. God, in there. You would be there. You'd settle my heart from all the distractions, all the things. God, this morning, it's full in me. God, I'm weak. God, this strength is made perfect in all weakness. God, this morning, fill up my offering so small. Oh, I have to give so insignificant this morning. God, I know that the promise of the story is that God, you can take this. We can do amazing, miraculous things with us. I'm just praying this morning we just do that. This morning we just do your power and your spirit and word. God, we just do the things that we cannot do, the things we cannot say this morning, Jesus, that we will hear from you. But God, I'm not willing to waste these people's time hearing from you. God, let's get back to it. If I got to pray again, we'll do it again. Like I said, I'm not willing. I'm going to take this off in just a second. It's still clipping. So, can you guys?
You guys hear me in the back if I take it off?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if it's weird, I'm going to take it off.
Let's just do that.
It'll de-stress you guys and it'll de-stress me. Sometimes it breaks. You can see what it is. This morning we're going to be in John chapter 6. I'll try to talk a little louder so we got it. But man, the story, I've read it over and over and over again. And I'll just be completely honest. Every time I read this story, I want to teach this story. But there's like a block in me that's like, do not teach the story. There was one other story that I used to feel the same way about, and it was John 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And this morning, I guess maybe it's some me that's a block, and it's some everything else that's a block. And I just want to say, Satan's fighting hard this morning for your attention. He's fighting hard this morning for your heart, because at the end of the day, if he can keep you from meeting with God, he's done his thing. You get this, what, once a week? Twice at most? Because we don't do this much. And this morning, if he can wreck today, he's already won the rest of the week. And this morning, I'm so excited about what God is going to say in John chapter 6. Like I said a minute ago, God is about giving. God is generous. And last week we talked about how that everything we have is from God. Colossians actually says that through Jesus, everything was made for Him, by Him, and through Him. That everything that exists come from God. That means everything you have first came from Him. You can be a self-made man all you want, but until you can take something that is nothing, like there was no dirt, but God made that, and then He took dirt and He made man. Until you can do that, you're not a self-made man. Somebody else made you and created you, and everything you have first came from Him. God spoke out air, so you, that breath you just took in, that was from God. And everything else follows down the line. Your house, your car, your wallet, your clothes, your time, your attention, your effort, your talents, your abilities, they all come from one place, one stream, one channel, and that's from God. And God being generous, God being the giver that He is, gave all of that to you. And some people may have more, and there's a whole lot of people that have less, but even with the least, God has been so generous.
Amen.
Even people that on the other side of the planet who have nothing still have air, still have breath, still have a heartbeat. And that's all through the generosity of God. God is about giving. And He even gave His Son. And it says in Romans 8, if He didn't spare His own Son, what else will He withhold? God is so generous. And this morning, we're going to talk about generosity. We're going to do that in a story in John 6 that has been a block for me. And this morning, I'm praying that God just does something amazing in it. But in this story in John chapter 6, we see that Jesus is about to do some amazing things. It says, after this, if you want to know what it's after, you have to go back and read chapter 5. I'm not going to do that for you this morning. But after this, chapter 5, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. The Sea of Galilee is a sea that a lot of the ministry of Jesus takes place around. It's something we see Jesus on and off of several times. Some of the disciples actually are called right up out of boats sailing on this sea. And this morning we see that this crowd, or that Jesus crossed the sea. And if you read Mark chapter 6, we see that the reason He did this is He had taught and taught and taught and taught. And the disciples were like, hey, let's get out of here for a minute. Get out of here and go to a quiet place. So they get in this boat and they take off to what they think is going to be a quiet place. And in 2, it says, and a huge crowd was following Him. This huge crowd was following Jesus. If you read Mark 6, you see that actually when Jesus gets off the boat, the crowd was following Him so intensely that they were already there on the shore waiting for Jesus. See, the truth is, the people just couldn't get enough of Jesus. We get this tendency in our heads because we look around churches today and we somehow think Jesus is boring. And people don't want Jesus. Well, the truth is, that's not the truth at all. People, by nature, are drawn to Jesus because Jesus is amazing. Jesus is wonderful. He's like this magnet, this people magnet, and everybody comes flooding to Jesus when Jesus shows up. Read the Gospels. Every time Jesus is somewhere, there are people that are trying to hear from Him. And these people wanted to hear from Jesus so intensely that when He got on the boat, they heard where He was going, and they walked around the edge of the shore of the sea to go meet Him in this place. And when Jesus showed up, those people were there, and they've collected other people along the way. And it tells us why. It lets us in on the secret. It says they were following Him because they saw the signs that He was performing on the sick. Everybody that come to Jesus that day come to Jesus for a reason. They come to Jesus because they had heard stories or have seen things that Jesus is actually capable of doing. I just want to say this because I think we get caught up in this in church sometimes. You know what didn't bring the people to Jesus that day? How good the band was. Didn't matter. There was no band. The disciples, fishermen, whatever, probably weren't super great instrumental people. There was no band. You know what didn't bring the people to Jesus that day? The personalities of the people in the room. You know, didn't bring the people to Jesus that day, the child care and the fancy lights and all the work and speakers and things like that. That didn't bring anybody to Jesus that day. You know what did bring people to Jesus? This is a message for the church. This is why we're failing today. You know what did bring the people to Jesus? Stories about Jesus. Because we'll get on the internet and we'll post how good the band is or the speaker is or the lights are or the building is or the child care is. And we'll tell our friends, we'll go, man, you got to come here to this dude or you got to come here to this band. Or you got their child care is phenomenal. Your kids love that. You'll go and you'll tell those stories, but you know we leave out the Jesus part. The most important thing that goes on in the ministry of Jesus is actually the ministry of Jesus. It's the stuff that he's doing and the stuff he's saying. And this morning, all over the planet, all over the churches, all over the world, here's the message from Jesus. Quit worrying about the other stuff. You know what brings people to Jesus? Jesus does. That's the stuff we got to post. That's the stuff we got to tell. That's the stories we got to take. And the truth is, Jesus is still doing stuff. It's the stuff we're talking about. And we see that there were huge crowds following Jesus. When he got off the boat, there were so many people there. And the reason all these people were there was they come to see Jesus. Jesus gets off the boat. And it says, so Jesus went up the mountain and he sat down there with his disciples. Now, we know that Jesus is about to teach. That's what he's going to do. It doesn't say that here, but just in history, rabbis always sit down to teach. That's how that works. He goes up the mountain because acoustically, it's a better thing. Jesus is about to teach here. He gets off the boat. He's tired. He's been teaching all day. He moves actually to a quiet place so he can just eat for a little while. But the people are there. And in Mark chapter 6, it says he has compassion on these people. He looks at these people and he's tired. And yes, he's hungry. And yes, he would probably like to take a little nap or something right now. But he sees these people and driven by compassion, he decides, you know what? Even though I'm tired and even though I'm hungry, I'm going to teach these people. So he goes up the mountain and he sits down. He says this weird thing in verse 4. It gives us this information that seems so unnecessary, and this took me a minute last night, but it says, now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Why waste that? Why waste the ink on that, really? Somebody has to handwrite this thing for the next couple hundred years, and you just throw this little verse in here. This is the stuff we blow by, isn't it? This is the stuff that we don't think about. I just want to say this, though. This is in here for a reason, and if there's something in the Bible you don't understand, you just got to figure out what it is. Don't blow by it. And it says here, now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. And that's important to us. One, it's a time stamp. We know what time of year it is. But they could have just wrote it down a different way, probably. See, the truth of it is, this is letting us in on not only the date of the year, but it's also letting us in on the mood of the room. This is what the people would have been thinking about in this moment. As they sat down around Jesus on this hill, it's Passover. To a Jewish person, you say Passover, all these memories come flooding into your head, and you think about all these certain things, just like if I was to say Christmas right now. As soon as I say Christmas, some of you guys, your brain starts going. I'll never get some of you back, and that's okay. You start thinking, tree, light, food. I was about to say ham specifically, because that's what we eat. Food. You start thinking about family. You start thinking about presents. You start thinking about paper. All these things. Some of you think Friday shopping is horrible. But you all have things that you think about when I say this word, this holiday. And the truth of it is, in the same way, because of the time of year it was, when they sat down around Jesus, they would have been thinking about certain things. All the synagogues in the area would have been teaching messages on Passover. Passover, for those of us who maybe don't know, is a festival. It's celebrated because back in Egypt, God decided to rescue his people. There were these people, and God delivered them through a series of plagues out of Egypt, out of captivity, out of slavery, into freedom. In this process, we see the story of the blood of the lamb. That's cool that Jesus just threw that in there. But we also see these people wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years being led by God, like physically led by God. And even greater than that, we see that every day these people would wake up. Every day these people would get up out of bed, and they wouldn't have to go farm, and they wouldn't have to go like herd sheep or anything like that. They would get up and they would go pick up food off the ground. Because every night God would deliver bread from heaven into that moment. Now in chapter 6, if you decide to read more of it later, you'll see that every one of those things that tackles that mood of Passover, Jesus is about to in some way give a new sign for. But in this moment we see Jesus is about to deliver in the same way bread from heaven. And this is what they're thinking about. And in this moment Jesus is showing up and he's like, hey, remember that God who led your parents around wilderness? Remember that God who delivered bread from heaven? Man, he's on top of this hill with you this morning. This is so important to the story, yet so many times you just pass over it. And it says in verse 4, now Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. It's sort of in the mood of the moment. In verse 5, it says, therefore, because of this, because of verse 4, see, it's really important. When Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming towards him, coming up the hill, he asked Philip, he asked him this question, where will we buy bread so these people could eat? Sounds like a really good question, doesn't it? Philip, where are we going to get enough food for all these people? You see, all it's lunchtime, man. They're hungry. I'm hungry. What are we gonna do here? Now, he would have logically asked this to Philip or Andrew or Peter, because all of these men were fishermen from around this area. They would have known all the great bread stores and bakeries in the land. But there was another reason for this. It says in verse 6, he asked this to test him. For he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus asked this question for a reason. Because Jesus knew exactly what he was about to do. It was no coincidence. It was Passover and Jesus was on this hill and there were hungry people. Jesus wasn't asking Philip's permission to do a miracle. He already knew what he was going to do. He wasn't even asking Philip really where the best bread store was. What he was really asking is, Philip, do you see me yet? Philip, we've been walking around for a little while. You've seen me heal people. All these people have seen me heal people. You know me. Do you get it? At the beginning of this story, where at the end of chapter 6, we see they're about to answer this great question, Philip gets the first swing at it. Philip, do you see me yet? That's what he wants to know. And he disguises it inside of this question, where in the world are we going to get more bread? Isn't that amazing? That God asks us if we see him in these weird ways. Where are we going to get our bread? Do you see me? Did you get that yet? Some of us so worry about everything every single day. We're so tore up. Where are we gonna do this? How are we gonna get this? How are we gonna meet this? How are we gonna reach this? And maybe in that worry, in that moment, what God's really saying to us is, do you see me yet? I don't know if I have enough money for this. Do you see me yet? Man, I don't know if I'm ever I'm trying to stick to this. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get there. Do you see me yet? He asked this to test him, for he himself already knew what he was going to do. And here's what Philip said. Here's Philip's answer. 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. Right over his head. Philip looks at Jesus and he's like, I don't know if you noticed this or not, Jesus, but we don't have the money to feed you. He just throws off some big number. They don't have that much currency in the Jesus bank account, I can guarantee you. And he goes, man, even if we had like 200 denarii, we could never feed these people. That, for us, doesn't really mean anything, but that's about 8 months' wages for a common Jewish person at this time. Jesus, if we worked for 8 months... we wouldn't have enough money to feed all these people, even a little bit. It wouldn't be a drop in the bucket. Jesus, there is no way in the world we can go buy bread for these people, is what he's saying. Jesus says, hey, we're going to get the bread. And he's like, there's no way we're going to get the bread. That's us, right? There's no way we can do that. And it says in 8, one of his other disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves, that's poor people bread, and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Okay, we went from 8 months bread, or 8 months wages, to get enough bread to give everybody just a little bit. And now we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Andrew's like, hey, Jesus, this boy walked up to us a minute ago, and he just pulled out his lunchbox. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fish in there. So, I mean, you can eat. And maybe I can eat. But they can't eat. Can you imagine this? Could you imagine this moment? Because we both know mathematically that doesn't equal out, right? There's not enough bread in Jerusalem for all these people just a second ago. And now there's a boy who's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he walks up and he's like, hey, here's something. And immediately Andrew looks at that and he's like, I'll take it to him, but that's not going to be good enough. So he walks to Jesus with this attitude. I think he's the hero sometimes, you know. Hey, Jesus, this is not going to be enough. But the boy said that's all he had. Already in the mind of Andrew and in the mind of whoever else was in this story, and probably even in the mind of this little boy, this gift was so insignificant. It wasn't going to cut it. It wasn't going to do it. It wasn't going to get there. It was little. It was small and pitiful. And the boy was probably like, doubting himself, like, I don't even know if I should just offer this up because it's not enough. And this is the moment. This little insignificant gift that we know what Jesus is about to do enters the story. And then here's what Jesus says. Have the people sit down. Don't you love how Jesus wasn't like, that's not enough. That ain't good enough. That ain't going to get it. That ain't going to cut it. Take that back. Give that back to the boy. Keep one of those rolls, though, because I want that. He didn't look down on the gift. Jesus didn't kind of spit upon the gift here. But he looked at the little gift, and then he come up with a big plan, and he said, here's what we're going to do. Have the people sit down. Get them to sit down. If you look in Mark 6, it gives you kind of more specifics on how they sat down. But they sat down in groups on the grass. It says there was plenty of grass in that place. There's plenty of space. So they sat down. And it says the men numbered about 5,000. That's just the men, by the way. There are up to probably around 15,000 people in this crowd. We got around 15,000 people, and we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you see how small the gift looks now? Like, it would be small for us, right? If I pulled out right now 5 little rolls, little wheat rolls, barley rolls, whatever, pulled out 5 little rolls and 2 fish, some of you would be like, I don't like fish, and some of you would be okay with it. But there still would not be enough food to go around. I don't know if I could get the front row and be full. And Jesus looks and he's like, hey, sit down. Jesus looking at 15,000 people and a couple loaves of bread and some fish, he says, sit down. I got a plan. We look at that and we're like, so small, so little, so insignificant, not going to work, not going to do it. Jesus is like, no big deal. This is in 11. Then Jesus took the loaves and after giving thanks, look at that. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus is praying, thanking God for it. Everybody else, not a big deal, not enough, not going to cut it, not going to get there. Jesus didn't look down on it, he didn't spit on it, and then he's like, thank God for this. Thank God somebody packed their lunch today. So he gives thanks for this, and then he distributed them to those who were seated. And it says, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. Math-wise, that doesn't work. I don't know if you're just not impressed with that or what. That doesn't work out. 15,000 people, you got 5 loaves. These are either some really, really big loaves and fish, or God did something crazy here. But wouldn't you love to have been there? Jesus just keeps reaching in the lunchbox. Here's you some. Are you good? Are you full now? You got enough? Are you got enough? All right, let's go to the next one. Here, you eat that bread. Are you good? Yeah. Okay, cool. Got you some more bread. And just around the room, 15,000 people, Jesus is passing out 5 loaves and 2 fish. The thing either looked real crazy back through there somewhere. It's just feeding. Or God did a miracle here. So he just passes out the fish and passes out the bread. And he said they got as much as they wanted. A minute ago, 8 months' wages wouldn't have bought enough bread for everybody there to have a little bit. It would have been dropping the bucket. And here, 5 loaves and 2 fish in the hands of God was enough that everybody got not what they needed, but what they wanted. This is in 12, when they were full. When who was full? Everybody. Not when Jesus was full, or the 12 guys were full, or even the little boy was full. But when everybody there, he didn't even get mentioned in the 5,000 men. He was so insignificant. Like, everybody that was there, almost 15,000 people were full. He told his disciples, he looks at the 12 guys, he says, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. What a bold statement out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. You'll get the leftovers. What are you talking about? We had 5 loaves, brother, and 2 fish. I can't collect the leftovers because I'm not even sure what just happened. And they go out and they start, do you have any extra food? Probably at first, like, this is stupid. I got a basket. Do you have any bread left? And, yeah, man, I got plenty of bread. Next guy, you have some? Go around the crowd, and they're just collecting and collecting and collecting. And it says in 13, so they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves. The 5 barley loaves wouldn't have filled 12 baskets. You get that, right? Like, if you had tore them all up, these are either teeny little bitty baskets or God did something. Because a few minutes ago, the 5 barley loaves ripped up wouldn't have went in 12 baskets. You couldn't have done that. There wasn't enough leftovers at the beginning to fill up 12 baskets. And God did something crazy here. And it's like, hey, go get the leftovers. And they're like, that's weird, but I'll try, whatever. Because I'm a disciple and I like this gig. So they collected them and they filled up 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves. I didn't even mention the fish. There's either no leftover fish or there were more baskets. So, loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Hold on. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And 15,000-ish people. And everybody eats from 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And everybody doesn't just get some, but they get full. They get more than enough. And they couldn't even eat enough so that they still had leftovers. Because I can eat after I'm full. I don't know if you know that or not, too. But if there's food, I usually do. There were probably some gluttons up on the hill that day. And there are still 12 baskets left. Math-wise, I don't know if you get this or not, but that's phenomenal. Like, that doesn't work out. That's like I give you $1 and you go buy Walmart. Is there something weird about you, or you are an excellent negotiator? So here Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds almost 15,000 people, and they have 12 baskets of leftovers, so I guess they go donate that to some homeless people in Jerusalem or something. And it says in 14, when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, this really is the prophet who was to come into the world. This is what they say. Man, this is the guy. We've been waiting on a Messiah for a long time, and I think we just had lunch with him. You know what's crazy about that? They had seen Jesus do miracles. They were all there because they had seen Jesus do miracles. They were regular church attendees, probably. But this morning, something was different. I don't know if it was the time or the atmosphere. It could have been a really nice hill, the mood of the moment. It could have been Passover thing. It could have been any of that, but in this moment, they saw something different from this man. Can I just remind you that this is Jesus? He could have fed these people any way he wanted to. Jesus could have, in that moment, on the hill, been like bread from heaven, and it could have just loaves fell out and hit them. He could have done that. He could have literally rained loaves of bread on those people. He could have done that. They were beside the Sea of Galilee. We've seen Jesus time and time again say, hey, go over there and cast your net over there. And they could hold in enough fish to feed all these people. He could have done that. But you know what Jesus used to show all these people who he was? A very insignificant gift. The people on the hill, all 15,000 people left saying, dude, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. This is the guy we've been waiting on. They would have told the same story had bread fell from heaven. Same exact story. They would have told the same story if Jesus would have been like, hey, fish, and they all jumped up on the seashore. They would have told the same story. And Jesus could have chosen any way in the world to make this happen that he wanted to, but he chose an insignificant gift, a gift that everybody else would have counted out, a gift that Andrew, one of the disciples, walked up and said, this is not going to be enough. That gift is the gift Jesus chose to show, I am who I say I am. You see, what's amazing about that to me is there are so many people in the church that don't do anything because you don't feel like you can. Man, what would have happened if this little boy had been like, man, it's not enough. And just kept it in his lunchbox. What would have happened if this boy would have just been like, you know what, it's 5 loaves, 2 fish. That problem is too big for my lunch to solve. So I'm just going to eat it. What would happen if the boy was like, you know what? If I give this to Jesus, I may have to be hungry. What would happen? Not this. There would have been a lot of people walk away that day that would have said, you know what? He's a great teacher. Super good teacher. There would have been a lot of people that would have walked away and said, you know what? I saw how he healed that dude. That was great. That was awesome. I wish that I could break my leg. He could heal me. But they wouldn't have walked away and said, you know what? That's him. That's the Savior. That's the Messiah. See, the truth of it is, man, we've let somebody tell us that what we have in us is not significant for far too long, because the reason it's not significant, the reason we don't see it doing anything big, is because we have yet to place it in the hands of Jesus. We just haven't put it there. Man, your gift is little in you. If it stays in your lunchbox, your gift will always be little and insignificant. But in the hands of Jesus, where he can break it and he can bless it, man, it can do an amazing, amazing thing. But I just want to tell you this right now. What God needs from you is already in your lunchbox. What God needs from you in the kingdom of God is already inside your lunchbox. It's already in there. God has already given you at birth the gift, the talent, the ability, the whatever. He's already given you that. So we can sit there, and we can be like, I can never do it. I can never be enough. It's never going to. Or we can just say, you know what, Jesus, here you go. See, the truth is, your time will never be enough. You'll never have enough time on your own. But God created time, and He's really good at multiplying now, just to be honest. If you knew what I did, like when I'm at school and here and home, if you knew that, you'd be like, I don't know how he eats. But I have time. I do. Because it's in the hands of God. Your money will never be enough in your hands, because you'll find junk to waste it on. You'll have 14 couches and no rooms. You got a couch in the bathroom. It's awesome. In your hands, it'll never be enough. I mean, in the hands of God, where He could break it and bless it, where He could multiply it, man, it's more than enough. Your talents, and everybody has some, everybody can do something. I guarantee you, everybody in this room can do something to expand the kingdom of God. You know how I know? Because I've read this book.
Amen.
The church is a body. All the parts of the body do something. I don't know what they do, but all of them do something. There's a reason you have toenails. You may be the toenail of the church, but you can be the best toenail.
Amen.
You can be the best toenail. And you can lead somebody to Jesus in that spot. Nobody may ever see you. Nobody may ever notice you. Nobody may ever know you do anything. But here's the truth. Whoever brews the coffee, I don't know who does it. Whoever brews the coffee is the reason somebody is awake right now. I don't even know who you are. You're the reason Jay can hear me right now. So insignificant in your hands. I mean, what's going to happen the day that somebody comes in? They're beat. It's first time in church. They see coffee. They take a drink of coffee. And they sit there awake and engaged. And they hear the gospel. And they come to know Jesus. That's from a cup of coffee.
Amen.
You have as much to do with it as I do. See, the truth of it is, man, there are no insignificant things in the body of Christ. God has packed your lunch. He gave you what He wanted you to do, what He needs you to do. He packed that down inside of you. And everybody can get involved and everybody can do things. See, the problem comes when we hold on to those things. Man, it's not enough. It's not going to do it. It's not going to get there. It's so insignificant. And God says, it's not insignificant. That's why I gave it to you.
Amen.
This morning, the truth of it is, man, when we give to God, when we empty-handed, openly, just hand out to God, He has storehouses and storehouses full of stuff He can give back. It's not a bank, it's not ATM. You throw money in, it doesn't mean you're going to just miraculously have $100. You could, but it doesn't mean that. But man, the blessings of God will come on your life when you give to God. And I just guarantee you, when you give to Him, you get back more than you could ever give. When you give Him yourself, you know what you get? Him. He's better than us. So this morning, I wish I had little brown bags. I really do. It's everywhere. But some of us have been holding on to something. I don't know what it is. Some of us have been holding on to something, and we got it in our little bag. I don't know. It could be sin. It could be. Maybe you got sin wrapped up in that bag, and you got it in your pocket, and you're like, I'm holding on to this. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe for some of you, it's time. Like, God's told you to do something. You know you're supposed to do something. You're like, I just don't have time. And you just got that rolled up in your pocket, and you got it down in there. Maybe some of you guys, it's a talent or an ability or a thing that could be happening in the kingdom of God right now, and you just got that rolled up in there and stuck down in that pocket, and you're like, I got to hold on to this. And I wish everybody had one this morning, because what I would love to see happen this morning is for us to just go and take that and be like, God, I'm going to give this to you. Because I believe that when I give this to you, not only am I going to leave full, but other people are also going to be full.